Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
You remember that time Jesus made a hard saying? See, everything he say ain't real just sweet and tickle your ear. You understand? Some stuff rub you the wrong way, and it's meant to rub you the wrong way so you can come out of that deception that you in. Remember he made a hard saying, and then some other people say, we ain't following you no more. And they left him. Some of his disciples walked off from him. And I was reading that one day, and I said, Lord, how come you ain't run after him? You know, some pastors, somebody leave the church, say, oh, wait, baby, come here. Can we make it right with you? Come on, baby. Let's talk about it. And a good pastor ought to do that and make sure people lead the right way. But my job ain't supposed to be to run after you and run you down, because if I got to run after you to get you, I'm going to have to run after you to keep you. And God didn't tell me to run after nobody. He told me to feed you. That means that you're responsible for bringing yourself to this place. The people, the pastor ain't called me in 3 weeks. I ain't been there. I ain't supposed to call you. You're supposed to know you in church. Why are you gonna try to run me crazy running after you? You know you're supposed to be in church, and they're going to get mad at me because I don't call you because you ain't where you're supposed to be. I'm taking heed to me. I get myself here. Feeling good, feeling bad. Feeling high, feeling low. Greg gonna walk through the door. I done ministered up here sick many times. Not feeling well. You just don't know. You the one supposed to be growing up where you can help me, pastor. You the one supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. My job is to feed you, teach you, train you. You the one supposed to be doing that. Everybody want to run the pastor down and break the pastor down, running after a bunch of foolishness. People have stupid reasons for not coming, and they want me to run them down. Why you wasn't in church? You know you're supposed to be in church. If you have a problem, you're supposed to call somebody. Pastor ain't called me in 3 weeks. You ain't called a pastor either. How about y'all calling and checking on me sometimes. I got all y'all. Pastor ain't called me. You ain't called me. To feed the church of God. So there's a supply that comes from the leadership. God ordained it that way. The Holy Spirit set the pastor as an overseer, and he has a supply for the body. Now, the body had to make sure they get there. That's true. To get their supply. But if you think, he can't tell me nothing. All right, you just forfeited something that God had for you. And you might think you're doing all right. But I'm going to tell you, deception never has a good end to it. It could cost you your life. Now, that's the extreme. That's on the extreme end of it. It could cost you your life not getting an instruction that God intended for you to have. Because you can end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Matthew 6:18, and I say unto thee, this is Jesus, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, it's my church. Amen. And you see, I always know this here too. One thing the Lord taught me when I first started pastoring, he said, look, the sheep don't belong to you. You're an overseer of the sheep. Sheep belong to Jesus. I didn't die for you. Jesus did. You belong to him. I'm going to give an account of how I oversee you. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have any responsibility to care for you, check on you, and things like that. I should do that, but it shouldn't be to the extreme. You shouldn't be where I got to call you every 3 months because you ain't in church. I shouldn't have to bird dog you. Colossians 1:17-18. And he is before all things, talking about Jesus, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus is the head of the body. So who's the head of the body?
Jesus.
Jesus is. So don't say that the body is not significant because he's the head of it. Amen? He's the head of it. Ephesians 5:24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. The church is subject unto Christ. Now, is he talking about the building being subject to Christ? Is he talking about just the pastor being subject to Christ? No, he said the church is subject to Christ. The church is all of us. All of us are subject or come under his authority or should be living under his authority. That means that we're accepting his will as the way to go. Amen. Romans 12:4-5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So you see, when Jesus builds his church, he makes it so that we are dependent upon one another for a supply. There's a supply that you give, and there's a supply that you receive. He tempered the body that way together. That means he fashioned us so we would need one another. Amen. To do his will. That's why that lie that's out there, oh, it's just me and Jesus. The Lord, I don't need no church. I got Jesus. All I need is King Jesus. That's a lie because that ain't what Jesus said. That Jesus don't validate that. He don't validate that as being the truth at all. He is all you need for salvation. But if you're going to do the will of God, you're going to have to be connected to some other people. And he has connected you, and maybe that's a problem. You don't like who he connected you with. Some people say, I ain't going there. I can't stand so-and-so. Well, you need to get over so-and-so, and you need to focus on Jesus. Some people leave church because somebody hurt their feelings. I passed by an usher one day. It was right before service. I was in a hurry. I came in here to check on something, and I darted, you know, through the foyer, and he's standing at the back door, and I went past him. I didn't speak to him, didn't even see him, because my mind was focused on something else. Then I didn't see them for 2 or 3 weeks, and I called, talked to his wife, and said, well, where y'all been? He said, well, we ain't coming back. I said, how come? He said, my husband mad at you. I said, what he mad at me for? You passed him the other last three Sundays ago and didn't speak to him. I said, what? I didn't speak to him. He didn't come back to the church. I said, I didn't even see him. He said, you walked right past him and didn't speak to him. I said, look, I'm praying with this man 3 times a week, early morning. This is why I was praying at 5:30. I said, this man ought to know me better than that. I'm speaking into his life. I'm discipling him. And one time I walked past him because, you know, when y'all out there working, I don't bother you. Sometimes I might walk past you and not speak. You shouldn't get offended over something so stupid as that. Pastor think he's stuck up? Nah, he don't even think he more than us. Nah, walk past me and didn't even notice me. I'm going to tell you, one thing I got is the power of focus. When I'm focused on a task, I remember one time I was preaching in a church, and them people walked all over me during the service. Just walked right in front of me while I'm preaching. I ain't see nothing. After the service, CeCe said, Greg, how you preach with them people walking all over you? I said, what people? She said, you didn't see all them people walking in front of you? Why? I mean, you dodging some of them. I said, no, I didn't see nothing. You didn't see that? I said, mm-mm, I ain't see nothing. I had locked in to 4 or 5 people that I knew was listening. And I was preaching to them. I didn't see all that other peripheral stuff. So don't get offended if the pastor walk by and don't speak. Know me. Know those that labor among you. Know my heart that I ain't no stuck up somebody that's just going to ignore you on purpose. I ain't gonna get mad at you if you don't speak to me. I don't know how far I'm gonna get. Glad I got the arm of God on this morning. Listen to these scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now all these scriptures come out of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm gonna skip around a little bit, but I'm gonna read them to you. Listen to this. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many or one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. So, you don't get to choose. I remember reading a book, and the guy was talking about, you know, people, how they neglect to assemble themselves together, even about the call of God. And they were preaching a revival, and then they say, tell me about the call of God that came to your life. Tell me, they want to talk to the pastor, you know. Give me a testimony how you got called to the ministry. He said, oh, I didn't get called. I didn't get no call. He was going to college in some curriculum that got too hard. He said, you know, that was too hard for me. I was having a tough time. I decided I'd be a pastor. You had a lot of people out there like that ain't got no call. They look at it as occupation. Well, you know, I think I'm just going to do this. They ain't got no call on them at all. See, you don't call yourself to preach. You don't call yourself to be a prophet, an apostle, evangelist. God set you in what he wants you to be. So really what you do is say, Lord, whatever you want me to be, I'll be it. And as you obey God and as you begin to function in the body of Christ properly with the proper relationship, then as you serve, you literally serve your way into your calling. That scripture blessed me so much there that God has set every member, everyone, and it said every one of them, everyone, Chris, every one of them had been set in the body as it pleased him. And so I say, Lord, Just wherever you set me, I'm pleased. If you please, I'm pleased with where I'm at. I'm pleased. Long as I'm set where you set me, long as I'm doing what you call me to do, if you please, I'm pleased. I just want to do what you call me to do. Amen. Amen. So you've been set in the body whether you want to or not. Whether you want to be set in, you're a part of the church. You're a part whether you want to be or not. Because the body is not one member. And that's why you can't say, it's just me and Jesus. Because the body is not one member. The body is not one. It's not you and Jesus alone. It's you and many others. And if you don't recognize that relationship, then you're going to shortchange yourself in life. And you may end up not doing what you may not even do what God called you to do. You remember when Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then he said, "For many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works." And he said, "And then I will profess to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." These are people that are doing religious works, but it ain't what God called them to do. That scripture put the fear of God in my heart. It really does. Because I don't want to be in that group that say, "Lord, you remember that day I cast some devils out? Remember that day I did all them wonderful work? Remember that day I prophesied in church, gave a tongue in interpretation?" Yes, he said, "I don't know you. I ain't called you to do none of that. This is what I had for you. Depart from me." See, that put the fear of God in me. I don't want to hear depart from me. People that are doing their own thing and they ain't consulting God, they ain't praying about it. They just doing what feel good and what seem right. And that's what those are things that feel good and seem right is things that Satan offered to you. In exchange for the real will of God, he'll give you something that feel good, seem right, something that think right. I mean, it just seems like this is right, but it ain't right because it don't line up with the word. You can get in a lot of trouble that way. And you can think you're saved and not be saved. If you're not submitted to Jesus, how you can be saved? If you're not doing his will, how you saved? Salvation means you surrendered. You gave up your will. So if you still living your will out, not even concerned about the will of God, how you saved that way? You might be deceived into thinking you saved. I was deceived into thinking I was saved. I thought I was on my way to heaven. I was one of them ones. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I was doing my own thing, living my own way. I wasn't asking God about nothing. You know, when I got in trouble, need a little help, you know, and the Lord, hey, yeah. Hook me up. Give me the hook up. But by and large, I was doing my own thing. I wasn't seeking him, wasn't praying. You know, I pray every now and then when I think about it, say the Lord's Prayer. You know, you say that by heart. You know, your heart ain't even connected. That's just words coming off the top of your head. How many of you remember the Lord's Prayer? You just say it like that, don't even think about God. I wasn't saved. And that's what happened. You had to guard against people coming to the altar, receiving Jesus, but not repenting of their sins. Because repentance means there's been a change in your will. I ain't doing that no more. That means your will has changed. If you come and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior." What does Lord mean? Lord means master. Means that you submitted to him now. So if you come and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I'm saved now. Thank you. I received Jesus." Went to the altar. And then you go back and don't nothing change in your life. And you keep living like you're living. You don't, there's nothing. I mean, you don't change anything. You just added church attendance to your schedule. Yeah. You're not saved. Saved means you're in the hot pursuit of Jesus. Saved means you're following him. See, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's salvation. If you ain't following him, You're not trying to find out what his will is. You probably ain't even saved. Don't get mad at me. Thank God for me. I thank God for the day that a young man witnessed to me. Man, you know Jesus? Yeah, man, I know Jesus. Died for my sins. I mean, and he talked to me. I said, look, man, I'm saved. I told you I'm saved. You don't have to witness to me. I know what you're doing. He just kept talking. I said, man, let the man talk. I'll be in my dorm in a few minutes. It's all be over. Just he ain't going to shut up. Just I'm thinking I'm saved. I told him I was saved. Yeah, man, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, he died for my sins. God raised him from dead on the third. I had all the right confession. When I got to that dormitory room, back in the lobby, I mean, when I got in that lobby, and he turned and went his way, I turned and went mine, and the Holy Ghost spun me around, and when I saw Jesus in that man, I saw the light of God in him coming out of him, just, you know, coming out 4 or 5 feet all around him, shining, just the glory of God. I seen God. I can't describe it. I saw God in him. Yeah. And I knew right then, I say, I don't have the same Jesus he got. My Jesus is different. My Jesus let me boogie woogie on Saturday night and get up and lead devotion on Sunday morning. See, my Jesus let me do what I wanted to do when I got ready. My Jesus, it was cool. Me and him was cool. He'd go to party with me. Come on, Jesus, go on in here. You know, we'll get my groove on a little bit. Jesus. See, that was the Jesus I had. He wasn't a real one. He wasn't a real one. See, there are many false Christs. There's a lot of false Christs out there. People that embrace a false idea, a false theology. It's not the truth. And I recognized that day, I got on the elevator, I went up to my room, and I sat down, and I said, I am not saved. I just had to face the fact, I am not saved. If I die, I'm going to hell. I'm not a real believer. I'm a religious boy. But when I got saved, that was a change. Hallelujah. Listen to this. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. How did Jesus build a church? Ephesians 4:11-13. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the, listen to this, for the perfecting of the saints. That's about maturity. Jesus put people in the body. See, you don't, this ain't something you just say, I'm going to be this. No, you find out. You discover what that call is. I discovered what I was called to do. I didn't know when I got saved. I don't know what he called me to do. I said, Lord, just make me what you want me to be. So I'm surrendered. I'm submitted. I'm going to church. I'm going to find out what I'm supposed to. I'm going to stay in church, find me a good church where I know the word of God is being preached and being taught, where I can grow. And so I let the fivefold ministry gifts mature me. Help me grow up for the work of the ministry. I'm doing the work of the ministry. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. So fivefold ministry gifts help encourage and build up the body of Christ. And so if you cut that part off, then you have missed a major supply that will help you to grow, that will help you find your life's work, and that will help you build a church. You miss that supply if you ain't in church. Amen. You ain't got to shout me down. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. You'll miss it. You see, pastors don't want to say this because they don't want to run people off. And you think, I'm not being hard on you. I'm just telling you the truth. People's lives are so out of whack and out of balance, and the church have such a low priority in their life that they're missing the will of God, and they're going through life thinking everything is okay with them and God, and it's not. Amen. I'm here to tell you, it's not all right for church to be number 10. That's right. Or number 20. Or number 25. Or whenever you feel like it. It is not right. It is not right for you to hold those type of ideas and attitudes. Because the scripture doesn't support it. If it's good enough for you, then it ought to be good enough for me if we all going to live on the truth. Don't say that. Well, you committed because you're the pastor. I still have a will. I still had to make it the choice to come to church when I don't feel like it, just like you do. Let me tell you, Lone Rangers don't like this message. People that don't have submission, that are full of pride, they hate this here. This will eat them up on the inside. They almost had to get out and run up out of here. It may be somebody here that say, boy, I tell you what, if Pastor was standing there looking at me, I'd be out of here. People that have problems, have heart issues, can't handle a message like this. Because it go against everything they believe in. But I'm just telling you, if you have those type ideas that church can take it or leave it, you are deceived by the evil one. I just had to tell you. Here's the biblical pattern that we see in the church. Early church leaders evangelized the world through preaching and teaching the word of God in cities, towns, and villages. People who responded to the gospel and gave their lives to Jesus in that city or town would assemble together to learn about God and his plan for their lives in the church. And many times a church would be established in that city. The leaders would stay with those believers for a period of time until the people were established in the word of God, became a family, and new leaders raised up. So that's what Paul would do. Paul would go somewhere, and they would preach the gospel, and people would get saved, and he would stay with them maybe a year or 2 years, and he would disciple them, and then he would, as God would lead them, he would recognize the gifts that were in different people, and then he would raise somebody up and say, now I'm going to put you as an elder here. I'm going to set you as an overseer here by the Holy Ghost. We're going to lay hands on you, and then you're going to be responsible for this, for the church here at Ephesus. You're going to be responsible for this church at Corinth. You're going to be responsible for this church. They got names in the Bible I can't even pronounce. Crenshaw, something like that. So they established churches. That's the way they did it. The local assembly was the church when the people came together. All right, listen to this. Acts 2, 46, 47. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Listen to this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who added to the church?
The Lord.
The Lord added to them. How did the Lord do it? Through the preaching and teaching of the word. So those people, they brought those people into their assembly. And they met back then. They didn't have big synagogues, so they say, look, the church is going to meet in this house. So church started in houses, and they would go from house to house. But they had authority there. They had people that were over them, and people understood that. Acts 14, 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So we see that what they did when they established a work in a city, then they ordained elders, and they did it with fasting and praying. In other words, they were seeking God about, Lord, who should be over this congregation here? Who can we make responsible for to make sure that the church is being fed and properly cared for and taken care of? And then they would ordain elders in every church. The Bible mentions the church at Antioch, the church at Jerusalem, the church that is in their house, the church of God at Corinth, the churches of Galatia, the churches of Judea, the church at Ephesus, Colossae, Philadelphia, Smyrna, and so on and so on. Jesus established these churches. And he has oversight, because in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that he was walking in the midst of the seven candles. The candles represent the church. Jesus watching, and he looked, and he knew the condition of every church. He said, I like this about you, but I don't like this here. You're doing good here, but you need to make some adjustment here. Jesus is the head of the church. And that was a local body he was talking to. He gave that word to the messenger of that church, the pastor. So when Jesus